Okay, let's start with a scenario. I think you've probably been there.
Oh, almost certainly.
Right. Maybe you spent weeks like prepping for a huge presentation, or you read some massive policy brief 100 pages long.
Yeah, you felt totally on top of it.
Totally. You can recite every figure, every precedent, market trends, whatever it was. You felt ready.
Prepared, confident, even.
Exactly. But then, maybe just a few days later, a colleague asks you something slightly different. A related problem, but a bit of a curveball.
And suddenly, blank.
Completely blank. Or worse, you know the information's in there somewhere, but you just can't access it for this new thing.
It's just sitting there, idle.
That information you aced the test with or nailed the meeting Q&A with,
Yeah.
now it's useless. Stuck.
So why does that happen? That's a really fundamental question about learning, isn't it?
It is. And today we're doing a deep dive into, well, one of the classic critiques on this very problem. It's the idea of inert knowledge.
A powerful concept.
Our mission here is to figure out why just, receiving information often doesn't actually lead to real learning or like applicable skill.
And we're drawing mainly from the work of Alfred North Whitehead for this.
That's right. The British philosopher and mathematician, specifically his essay from 1929, found in the Aims of Education.
A really influential piece.
Yeah, Whitehead was sounding this warning, this alarm about ideas we pick up that just stagnate. They don't do anything.
They just sit there.
So we're going to unpack the difference, the critical difference between just knowing something, having it stored away, and actually being able to, well, use it.
Deploy it, combine it with other things, use it to tackle something new.
Exactly.
And what's really striking, I think, is that Whitehead wrote this nearly a century ago,
Yeah.
but it feels so incredibly relevant today, doesn't it? With this like constant flood of information we're all dealing with.
Totally. So contextually, he was reacting to.
Well, he was looking at an education system back then that was heavily focused on rote memorization.
Right. Learning facts for their own sake.
Yeah, often classical subjects, kind of disconnected from, immediate use or application.
Okay.
And he looked at that system and came up with this core idea, the definition we really need to grasp. He called them inert ideas.
Inert ideas.
And his definition was, let me get this right, ideas that are merely received into the mind without being utilized or tested or thrown into fresh combinations.
Without being utilized, tested, or thrown into fresh combinations. That's the key
Yeah,
point.
that's the core of it. It's like, imagine downloading a piece of software onto your computer,
Okay.
but you never actually install it. It's just sitting there, taking up space on your hard drive.
Right. It's present, but it doesn't do anything.
Exactly. It's non-functional. It hasn't been integrated.
I think the paradox there is what gets confusing for people, for you, the listener, maybe, because inert knowledge isn't really about forgetting, is it?
No, not necessarily. That's a really important distinction.
It's about being able to successfully retrieve the information, but
Yeah.
only in the exact same way you learned it.
Precisely. The moment the context shifts, even slightly, poof, it fails.
Can we make that more concrete? Maybe an
Oh,
example.
yeah, absolutely. Let's take something many listeners might encounter, say, learning a new programming language. Let's pick Python.
Okay, Python.
So, passive learning might involve just memorizing all the function definitions, the syntax rules, the order of operations.
Like studying flashcards for the definition.
Exactly. And if I give you a multiple choice quiz asking, what's the difference between a list and a dictionary in Python, you might get 100%. You know the definitions.
Okay, sounds like success so far.
Ah, but is it? According to Whitehead, maybe not. Because now, what if I ask you to take those definitions, those rules you memorized, and write a short script, maybe one that scrapes some data from a website, structures it somehow, and then uses those elements to solve a little puzzle I just made up?
Okay, a practical task.
And let's say the script has a small bug in it, a subtle error. That's the real test.
Right. Can you apply the knowledge?
Can you deploy those facts you memorized, the definitions, the syntax, to figure out the bug, or to structure a solution to this new puzzle?
And if you can't,
Then, even though you still know the definitions for the quiz, those facts are inert. They're useless for this practical task.
so the knowledge is like trapped.
Yeah.
It's in memory, but it won't come out unless you ask the exact same quiz question.
Pretty much. It's siloed. It doesn't connect to other things. It's not activating outside that initial very narrow context.
Like files that won't link together.
Exactly. It's siloed and, crucially, unusable for building anything new on top of it.
Ah, okay.
So Whitehead argues that even that 100% quiz score, it still shows inert knowledge if you can't connect those dots later.
The failure isn't retrieval per se, it's application.
It's the inability to solve new problems, or, and this is key, to use that information as a foundation, to build new knowledge structures on top of it.
It's like a dead end. You learn this thing, but it doesn't lead anywhere else.
A knowledge dead end. That's a good way to put it.
Okay, but this really challenges how we usually think about learning, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're often trained to believe in a sequence.
Definitely.
You know, first, consume the information. Get the facts. Second, store them. And then third, maybe much later, apply them.
Right. The assumption is, how can they possibly use the information until they know it first? Many teachers, many managers still operate this way.
And that feels logical on the surface. I mean, if you're studying for something like, say, a professional certification or the bar exam,
mm-hmm.
don't you need to know the SACs first? How can Whitehead argue against that basic sequence?
Well, that's a really critical point, and it gets us right into the core of Whitehead's argument. He's not actually arguing against knowing facts or learning foundational content.
Okay, so it's not anti-fact.
Not at all. He's arguing against passive acquisition. That's the target.
Passive acquisition, meaning just taking it in without doing anything.
Yes. He's challenging the whole idea of the mind as like a blank slate or an empty bucket that you just passively pour facts into.
Hoping they'll somehow become useful later on their own.
Exactly. Hoping that application will just magically spark down the road. That's what he says doesn't work.
So why doesn't it work, according to him? Or maybe how does learning actually work if not like that?
Well, if we look at it through a modern cognitive science lens, which aligns really well with Whitehead, actually, we understand that learning isn't about filling a bucket. It's about building mental models, or what psychologists call schemas.
Schemas, like frameworks.
Sort of. Frameworks, networks, interconnected structures of understanding. And these are built not by just passively receiving stuff.
But by doing something with it.
Yes. By actively synthesizing information, connecting it to what you already know, testing it, revising your existing structures, it's an active process.
So if information comes in and you don't immediately try to connect it or use it to adjust your existing mental map,
then it's very likely to just float away, be forgotten. Or worse, it sticks around but becomes that inert, unusable stuff.
Okay, so when I just passively read that policy brief,
even
if I highlight it, if I'm not arguing with it in my head or trying to connect it to other policies or imagining explaining it to someone,
you're likely failing to build or update the schema you need. The structure required for you to actually use that information later in a new situation isn't being built.
Which brings us back to Whitehead challenging that sequence.
Mm.
Know first, use later.
Absolutely. He argued the mind isn't passive. It's fundamentally active. It's curious. It's always doing something.
Always trying to make sense of things.
Always. And this leads to, I think, his most powerful rebuttal. He said, the mind is never passive. You cannot postpone its life until you have sharpened it.
Wow. Okay, you cannot postpone its life until you have sharpened it.
Yeah. Think about that.
That just completely flips the common model.
Yeah.
It's saying that sharpening the activity, the using that, is the learning process itself. It's not something that comes after.
Exactly. The mind is trying to make sense of the world right now. If you just force feed it facts that have no immediate connection, no utility now,
it resists or finds a shortcut.
It resists or, yeah, it finds the absolute bare minimum path to meet the immediate demand, which might just be memorizing the arbitrary link between fact A and test question A.
Well, nothing deeper, no real integration.
No real integration, no connection to fact B or real world problem C.
Okay, this is really important then for you, the listener, especially in a professional setting.
Hugely important.
If you're sitting in a high stakes meeting, data is being presented. If you just nod and mentally file it away under data from meeting,
that data is probably already on its way to becoming inert for you.
So to make it real knowledge, you have to force the utility right then and there.
You have to force it. Ask yourself immediately, okay, how does this new piece of information challenge what I thought I knew? How does it change my current strategy? How does it connect to that other project?
That questioning, that struggle to connect, that's the utilization Whitehead is talking about.
That is the utilization. That's the mind being active, being sharpened in the moment, not postponed.
I'm thinking back to high school physics now. You know, I could ace the tests on conservation of momentum. Formulas, definitions, standard problems, no problem.
Right.
But then I remember trying to rig up some simple pulley system in my garage to lift something heavy. And I just couldn't figure out why it wasn't working properly.
Oh, the classic disconnect.
Yeah. The knowledge was supposedly there, but it felt locked away, stuck in exam mode.
Textbook knowledge, not usable knowledge.
So how do we consciously force this process, this combination and utilization? What does throwing into fresh combinations, as Whitehead put it, actually look like day to day?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's about being proactive. Whitehead's solution wasn't about teaching less stuff, but teaching it differently.
How so?
Ensuring that relevance, application, combination, these are always front and center, not afterthoughts.
Okay, so for yourself, if you want to avoid creating inert knowledge as you learn,
you have to deliberately build those links. Force the connections yourself.
Like how? Give me some practical steps.
Okay. Let's say you're tackling some dense, new technical concept. Don't just read the manual or watch the tutorial video and highlight things.
Right. Avoid the passive stuff.
Instead, step one, maybe try creating a simple flowchart. Show how this new concept interacts with, say, three old concepts you already feel comfortable with. Force the connection.
Okay. Visualize the relationships. Makes sense.
Step two, try to explain this new technical thing to someone who knows nothing about your field. Use an analogy. This is sometimes called the Feynman technique or the beginner's mind test. If you can't simplify it, you probably haven't truly integrated it.
Right. Teaching forces understanding. What else?
Step three, engage in some mental simulation. Imagine a scenario where misunderstanding this concept leads to a disaster, a project failure, a wrong diagnosis, whatever. Then try to mentally debug that failure using your understanding of the concept.
Ah, so you're forcing yourself to apply it, even hypothetically, to solve a problem.
No.
You're creating the fresh combination.
Precisely. You're shifting the focus from just learning about the thing.
To learning to do something with the thing.
Exactly. And that's why Whitehead said that information itself, when it's divorced from utility, from application, he said it's not a useful concept when we consider learning.
It really reframes everything. It's not about how much raw data you can absorb.
No. It's about the agility, the flexibility, the depth of the connections you forge between the pieces of data.
The learning is the connecting, the combining activity itself.
That's the heart of it. If the facts you take in aren't used immediately to reshape your mental landscape, your schemas, they might as well be dead storage. They're inert.
Okay, let's circle back briefly to that challenge I raised earlier. The person studying for, like, the bar exam or a big financial regulation test, there's just a massive volume of specific facts they have to memorize and recall under pressure.
Right. That's a real constraint.
If we take Whitehead's critique seriously, how should that person study? Should they just not memorize? That seems impossible for those kinds of tests.
No, absolutely not. Whitehead isn't saying don't learn the foundations. Foundational knowledge, especially in fields like law or medicine, often does require significant initial memorization.
Okay.
The critical error, Whitehead would argue, is stopping there, making memorization the end goal.
So what's the alternative when facing that mountain of facts?
You build in the utilization step right alongside the memorization. So if you're studying, say, two different legal statutes for the bar exam, don't just memorize statute A and statute B separately.
What then?
Force a connection. Create a quick hypothetical case study in your head, or even scribble it down, where statute A and statute B potentially conflict. How would you resolve it? Which takes precedence. Why?
Ah, so you're forcing a fresh combination even with rote material.
Exactly. You're making your mind do something with the facts beyond just storing them. Or, back to the Python example, you learn a new function syntax. Fine, memorize it, but immediately.
Try to use it.
Yes. Immediately try to weave that new function into a tiny project you're already working on. Make it interact with a library you learned last week. Force it to work together with other pieces.
You're using the facts to create something, even something small, not just recall them on demand.
Precisely. And that process, that active creation and connection, starts transforming that fragile temporary retrieval pathway
into a more robust, functional mental model. A schema.
Exactly. A schema that you can actually deploy more flexibly later on in situations you haven't explicitly practiced. Because the life of the mind, as Whitehead put it, wasn't postponed. It began immediately with the activity.
You know, the biggest takeaway for me here, thinking about this, is realizing that feeling we get after consuming a lot of information.
Yeah. That feeling of accomplishment.
That satisfaction. Yeah. Whew. Finished that report or got through that whole textbook chapter. That feeling can actually be pretty misleading, can't it?
Very misleading. It often signals passive consumption, not active integration.
True learning seems to require more, friction, more struggle, forcing the new stuff against what's already there until something new clicks or gets built.
That's a great way to frame it. Friction, struggle, active combination. So let's try to summarize the core takeaway for you, the listener.
Okay.
Successfully retrieving a fact for a specific test, or just recognizing a term when you hear it again. That's the hallmark of static, potentially inert knowledge.
Static, not dynamic.
Right. Useful knowledge, the kind Whitehead advocated for, is dynamic. It's resilient. It's the knowledge you can actively deploy, synthesize with other knowledge, and combine in new ways to solve problems you weren't specifically prepared for.
Problems the original textbook or lecture never even mentioned?
Exactly. That's the real test.
And it implies that if you're constantly taking in information, articles, meetings, podcasts, courses, whatever, the moment you let that information just sit there, passively received, without immediately trying to connect it or use it, you're actually slowing yourself down. Because you're building up this inert knowledge. It's like cognitive debt. It takes up space, but doesn't contribute to future learning or problem solving.
That's a powerful metaphor, cognitive debt. I like that.
It makes the next step harder.
Which really leads us to a final thought, a provocation for you to consider as you continue your own deep dive into learning and skill building.
Okay, let's hear it.
If you accept Whitehead's premise that utilization, testing, combining must happen immediately to prevent knowledge from becoming inert, from dying on the vine, then what is the very next concrete action you will take, maybe right after this finishes, to actively deploy, test, or synthesize the last significant piece of information you encounter today?
Don't just let it sit there.
Don't let it become inert. Go and activate it now.